And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge. DJ Bucky back with you. And Buck, our pal Andrew Siciliano, who listens to the pod every time, said that he likes the comforting fact that every single podcast begins with me saying, "How you doing, Buck?" So I'll comfort Andrew with that. How you doing, Buck?
Man, I'm great, DJ. Like I think coming off that whirlwind weekend where we had the big trade involving Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, I think it forces you to reset and rethink and kind of figure out what you believe in from a philosophical standpoint in team building and quarterbacks and how quarterbacks factor into that evaluation. So now I'm good. My brain is about to pop, thinking about all the scenarios that could take place. And I think it's great because today we're going to talk about the scenarios as it relates to the quarterback position and the movement that we could see this offseason. So I'm excited to chat.
Yeah, what we're going to do on today's show is we're going to actually kind of build this show off of a theme here about these quarterbacks and potential movement in the offseason. And it really stems from a tweet from Adam Schefter a while back where he tweeted out that he put the over-under at 18 in terms of quarterbacks changing teams this offseason, which is a massive amount of guys. And then he listed all these quarterbacks down. So we're going to go through quarterback by quarterback and say where we think this all ends up with them as we get to this crazy offseason we're about to enter here. But before we get into those other guys, two of the guys on the list were Stafford and Goff. And we talked a little bit about this the other day on the pod, but I want to dig a little bit deeper on that, Buck, because I think there's some other stuff we didn't get a chance to flesh out there. Just your philosophy, you've talked about this, gosh, I would say going back maybe three or four years, you've brought up the college model, right? So why don't you explain that for folks that haven't heard it?
Yeah, so one of the things I wonder about in team building, it has been proven that the teams that are going to the Super Bowl, for the most part, are teams that have a quarterback playing on a rookie deal. Because when you have a quarterback playing on a rookie deal, really from an economical standpoint, it enables you to go out and really supply or support them with star talent everywhere. On at the offensive line, at wide receiver, on defense, you can commit more dollars and resources to having a high-level team around them. And so I just wonder who is going to be the bold team builder that says we're going to adopt a collegiate model where in recruiting you see these teams like Clemson where they move on from Trevor Lawrence and they have DJ Uiagalelei coming in to report him another five-star player, and then after him they'll have another five-star and the machine keeps going. Who is going to be the NFL team that is willing to, hey, we draft a quarterback early. He plays really well within our system, but he's not a Patrick Mahomes type. So we're going to punt and find another one. Because if you do that, what it does guarantee is you have an opportunity to keep a stable team around that quarterback, and you're just dropping him in, and he is the disposable piece or the dispensable piece that you can use while you keep the other stuff around the quarterback stable and prosperous because you always have tremendous talent.
So this is, I saw some people push back with you on this. So I want to kind of clear it up a little bit. Cause I'm with you on that. If you don't have one of those guys, right. I think we need to define kind of what one of those guys are. We've talked about trucks and trailers before. Right. And I think to me, this is the important side of it. Now, if you have Aaron Rodgers and you have Patrick Mahomes, we're not saying you need to go back into the quarterback market and move on. Like, all, you know, we're saying the Packers should stay with Jordan Love, let Aaron Rodgers, you know, walk out the building, and then you've got a cheaper quarterback. Therefore, you can build a better team. No, but what we're trying to say is that if there's a gray area, which I think with Goff and Wentz, maybe there was a little bit of a gray area there, Buck, where it was like, okay, we think, you know, maybe one more so than the other, but we think they're kind of one of those top guys. If there's gray area, then that's where we're saying it makes sense to maybe try and cycle this process through. But if you have, I'm going to go through the list here, like where we are right now. Let me ask you this one. Josh Allen, when his contract's coming due.
I think you have to pay him because I think he's proven to be a truck.
I agree with you. I think that offense runs through him. I don't think he's a complimentary piece. I think he's the lead actor in that one. So you go there. I don't think you have another one in that division that you would say feel great about. So here's one. The Ravens have a big decision coming up on Lamar Jackson.
Well, I think he is their entire offense. I think he is.
But do you pay him as a? But do you pay him as that? As that, you know, $40 million guy?
I think Lamar Jackson's contract is probably the most fascinating to watch, because what you have on the surface is a guy who has won a ton of games. He's been a league MVP. He's gotten to the playoffs. He's done a lot of the right stuff. So I think you have to pay him to that level, but I think it has to be a short-term deal. I don't think you can lock him up to one of those 5 or 6 year deals or whatever. I think if I could, I would try and keep it to 3 years and see how long I could ride that out, or a longer deal where we have to have that conversation 3 years from now.
Yeah.
Whether we extend the
marriage. It can be announced as a 6 year contract, but it's a three year out.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think you have to do it just because his style is so unique and different. But I want to reward him for what he's been able to accomplish.
So I'm just kind of looking at some of the quarterbacks from that era where the decisions are upcoming. So the other one that's fascinating to me, and you've seen a little bit of chatter about this, he gets a little sensitive about it too, is Baker.
I think Baker's a trailer. And so
wherever the number gets is going to determine that.
Yeah, because I would hold firm on that number. And it's hard, DJ. I mean, can I make that number 25? Can I make it 25?
And I feel like he's going to want more than that. And the other thing he has in his favor is he's going to say, you know what? You might think I'm a B level quarterback. Maybe you think I'm a B minus level quarterback. Look at that jersey with all those names of all those quarterbacks the Browns have cycled through. I've gotten you to the playoffs. You know, you say I might not be the truck. I might be the trailer along for the ride. But nonetheless, we got in the playoffs. And you want to go through this cycle all over again trying to find somebody?
Within my pushback would be, who are we bidding against? Because Baker, where are you going, and who is going to pay you more than we pay you? Who values you more than us?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. I was like, oh, okay, well, I mean, if you want to go out there and see what's out there, you may go out there and find that the number that we have exceeds what you get on the open market. I think that's a tough conversation, because I don't think he has played at a truck level where you can just – back up the Brinks truck and say, hey, Baker, you can have whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that gets back to an interesting conversation with this whole trade and with the Jared Goff thing. And in hindsight, you know, should they
have very similar?
They did. Yeah, that was the conversation we were having back then.
It's a similar conversation. And I would say this, because the Jared Goff conversation to me is the Matt Ryan conversation, right? Like, I see Jared Goff and Matt Ryan very, very similar. When Matt Ryan has been surrounded by like the A-level players and he's had the right play caller, he has played at a high level. But when it hasn't been right at all, he can't overcome that on the strength of his own game. And so I think Jared and a lot of quarterbacks fall into that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I would put Matt just a more accomplished player. Though I know they've both been to a Super Bowl, they both lost a Super Bowl. But I think Matt Ryan, consistency-wise, has put a long track record together of being consistent.
Yeah,
that might be consistent B plus, A minus football, but it's been consistent there, where I think had a little more of a up and down.
A little bit. I saw them as similar players when they were coming out. Like in my notes when I wrote the report, I said, he reminds me of Matt Ryan. Like whatever you think of Matt Ryan, I think Jared is very, very comparable in terms of that. And so I kind of think as that, like if the team around him is good, he's going to flourish. If the team around him is bad, like he's not going to help you overcome that. And I think there are a lot of quarterbacks that fall in that. In reality, DJ, when we count them up, I'm curious to see, there may be 5 to 7 trucks in the league. I would guesstimate based on how we're doing this division by division.
Yeah. No, it's kind of what it is. It, by the way, Jared Goff, college report. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right, 3-year starter quarterback for the Cal, desired height for the position, lean, narrow frame, operates in the gun, the Bears' air raid attack. Everything about him is quick feet, quick eyes, quick release. It's not all pick and stick in this version of the spread offense. There are plenty of examples where he reads left to right and delivers the ball. Doesn't have a huge arm, but he throws a pretty ball. He can fit it in tight windows. He'll try to force on occasion, which has led to some turnovers. Doesn't look to run often, but he's athletic inside the pocket to avoid trouble and extend plays. Very tough, doesn't flinch under heavy pressure. Overall, Goff will need some time to adjust to an NFL offense, but has all the necessary tools to be a solid starter at the next level.
I mean, I think that's what he proved to be. I think the difficult thing, if Jared Goff wasn't taken number one overall, if Jared Goff was taken 23 overall, it's a different conversation, different expectation. But because the number one overall pick, there's a standard where you expect that guy to be, I mean, an all-pro player, a Hall of Fame worthy player down the line, like a transcendent talent. And that's not who he is. I think he's a solid starter. And I think what gets lost in the conversation sometimes when we talk about trades or whatever, like people fall into the camp, either you love him or hate him, and there's no middle ground. I think Jared is right in the middle. And I think if you can appreciate what he is, I think you'd be like, yeah, okay, like maybe he is going as far, and the Rams have gone as far as they can go with him and that style quarterback in the building. But that doesn't mean that he's a bust or a flop or a failure. It just means that, look, we've ridden it as far as we can go, much like Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs, yeah. Right? Alex Smith and the Chiefs, they got to a point where they bumped the ceiling. They yep. got to, but Pat Mahomes comes in and they go over it because he's a more talented player. I think that is the conversation that we should be having with Jared Goff.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That fascinating side note on this. Anthony Lynn, as offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, he had kind of a front row seat to see kind of the end of Philip Rivers' time there. And obviously different, Goff's much younger than Philip, mm-hmm. but they're similar in that they're neither one of them are super athletic and going to be able to escape. And I know it was a little bit frustrating for Anthony Lynn, because if you had any problems up front, Philip couldn't, you know, if he didn't get the ball, he couldn't physically get away from that. And, right. and so the Chargers really wanted to get more athletic at that position. So Justin Herbert comes in, same offensive line, you know, mostly the same system. And he was able to get away from a lot of that stuff just as an athletic quarterback. To me, Anthony Lynn and Jared Goff doesn't feel like a great match. It just doesn't.
Yeah, I wonder. So what I wonder is the good thing in my mind, because like Anthony comes from the Shanahan tree or whatever, is like he has 4 years of tape of Jared Goff in a system that is very similar to what I think he's going to run. And I think he's going to have to pick and choose off that menu of what Jared Goff did. And he's going to have to find a way to dress up the old hamburger. Sometimes it's with cheese. Sometimes you got ketchup and mustard on it. Sometimes maybe you put like some burger sauce on it, but it's the same burger. And he's going to have to find a way to keep it creative for Jared while doing those things, because it's been proven. This is what we know about Jared Goff. Jared Goff is a play action passer. He needs to throw off play action. He needs to throw the bootleg movement game slightly outside the box. That's what he is. If you get into a situation where he has to do traditional drop back passes, that is not going to be his strength. And so, I mean, that's what your quarterback can do. So you have to find a way to do it.
Well, you've got a blocking tight end and a running back as your head coach and offensive coordinator. So I can guarantee you they're going to want to run the football. So DeAndre Swift is going to be the big winner in this whole thing. He's going to get a ton of carries in this offense.
Oh, I mean, they have to. Also, DJ, this is one. Whenever we talk about the trade, we always talk about it from the Rams slant. Just in thinking about the Detroit Lions slant, never underestimate how much, if you are a college scouting director and you're one who lives in the draft, yeah. how much you love your picks. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason why Jared Goff comes over to Detroit is because general manager Brad Holmes was a college scouting director, played a big role in him coming in. And sometimes your affinity for the guys that you pick impacts your judgment going forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if they don't take a pick, if they don't take a quarterback early. I wouldn't be surprised if at 8 they're like, or 7, they're like, nah, we're good. We can go with him. We can get all the other stuff, because they still have a level of confidence that he can play at a high level.
So here's the reason why I think you might be onto something there, is because when Dan Campbell's already talked about it, right? This requires patience. We're going to try and build this thing. And we've just laid out the benefits of having a quarterback on a rookie deal. So if you're in the middle of – if you're at the start of the rebuild, to draft the quarterback now
– it's too early.
It's too – you're not – your team's not going to be any good until it's going to be almost time to pay him.
Yes.
So it makes more sense to try and build up the infrastructure of the team, boop, drop the quarterback in, and then the clock starts. I mean, that's kind of how Kansas City was, right? The whole thing was built, and you get Mahomes.
And that's why it makes sense. And if you listen to what Dan Campbell has said, he said, hey, 2 years, it's going to take us 2 years to get it right. Well, 2 years then and a six-year deal, he then has 4 years to reap the benefits of, I got a rookie quarterback, here's how we're progressing and doing it. And so to me, the deal makes sense for them, because you already have your quarterback. It's not the rush to feel like I got to go and get the quarterback. Let's go and get the other players around the team. See if we can make the team better. And, oh, by the way, if Jared plays better than we expect, maybe we hit on something. Maybe a change of scenery brings out something, and maybe we don't have to go back. But why not give ourselves option without putting the added pressure of drafting a young quarterback and everyone in the Motor City talking about, well, when's the young quarterback going to play? Mm-hmm. Give Jared a chance to see if he can do the thing before you have to go back and shop it down that aisle.
Yeah. Well, let's start ripping through some of these other quarterbacks here. And I'm going to go out of order from what you have on your sheet here, because I think this is a similar discussion. So Sam Darnold on there, right? Mm-hmm. Sam Darnold, to me, if you look where the Jets are right now in their process, they're not ready yet. So to me, it makes more sense to draft a quarterback, whoever your quarterback of choice is it too. We got a long time before we get to the draft. But to draft one, start that clock now as you're kind of, you know, loading this thing up right now as you go. But to me, you're a year away from having to pay Sam Darnold. You would be, you know, 4 years away from having to pay whoever you draft. That's going to be a cheap number on that rookie deal. So to me, I just don't know if I want that chunk, if I'm not sure. And Sam is very much in that gray area. We both love him. We both love him coming out. I think he's going to, he still has a chance to be a really good player. He's 23 years old. All that being said, it's gray. It's not black and white. It's very gray with him. And I don't know if I want to set myself up for paying the going rate of what you're going to have to pay there versus restarting the clock with a rookie.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. Here's what I would say to you about the Sam Darnold thing. Let's think back, because you're tied to the Chargers. I'd like to bring this example up. Drew Brees was very much a gray area player when they drafted Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
They kept Drew Brees, and Drew Brees ended up playing really well.
Yep.
And then they re-signed him. Then they eventually moved on and gave Phillip thing. I think you can
hear his show. He hurt his arm. If he didn't hurt his arm, who knows what happens?
Right. Because now you have a serious conversation about the Drew Brees thing or whatever. He hurts his arm the last game or whatever, and he's not able to play. With Sam Darnold, I think you can draft one at two. And I don't think it necessarily means automatically that you have to punt on him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You get something you love, you get value, fine. If you don't love it, you're better off just to keep him for a year playing.
Keep him for a year or two. And especially depending on which quarterback you take it to, it might be good. And we both said that the system that he's about to jump into is the best system for him and, in my mind, for all young quarterbacks or whatever, because it should make the game very easy. Let's see what he looks like in that system. And then you may actually elevate his trade market in a year by keeping him and developing him and then auctioning him off while you have the number two overall pick. I don't think you should be afraid of keeping him and drafting somebody as well.
Yeah, again, to me, it comes down to if you're getting the value that you want. That determines that. So there's nothing wrong with keeping both of them. I agree with you on that one. So that's kind of Sam Darnold, what we see with him. If it's not the Jets, to me, I think you look at the 49ers as the most logical spot. You know, a lot of talk about, you compare him with Jimmy Garoppolo and where Shanahan is on that. You hear Kirk Cousins' name's always going to come up, right, when Shanahan's name is mentioned. And you also have to keep an eye on the Washington football team. To me, like he fits what they do as well. And I think he would be a good fit there as well.
Yeah, no, I think he has an opportunity that he should have a couple of spots that are there. San Francisco makes a ton of sense because Kyle Shanahan, the running game, he is an upgrade over what they play with when they haven't had Jimmy Garoppolo available. I would think that he would flourish in that system. And I think he would actually flourish under the Jedi, the master of it all, because I think Kyle Shanahan is even different than Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur when it comes to running that scheme.
All right, we can cross a couple guys off the list here. Aaron Rodgers, don't need to discuss. Nope. He's not going anywhere. We've already got Stafford to the Rams. We've already got Goff to the Lions, crossing them off. We just hit Sam Darnold, check. So let's go to the top of the list. I mean, is Deshaun Watson. Just where we are right now, what you think happens with this thing?
I think Deshaun Watson ends up in Houston. I don't think he goes anywhere.
Really?
I think from a front office standpoint, DJ, we know how hard it is to find a guy, right? It's hard enough to find a starting quarterback, like a solid starter. It is even nearly impossible to find a truck in the situation. If I am the Houston Texans, I am not moving off of that. I have to see him take me all the way out into the regular season and say that I'm not playing, I'm not showing up and doing those things. I cannot cave in, because what you're getting back in return is an unknown. I'm holding firm. I have to keep Deshaun Watson in Houston.
So I was talking to somebody in the league the other day, and they said, you know, same type of thing, right? You can't trade him. Call his bluff. See if he's willing to sit. And I've mentioned, I think he's pretty principled dude, and I could see him pulling a Carson Palmer and being like, fine, I'm good. I made enough money for 1,000 lifetimes. I'm good. So I'm just not playing here anymore, and stick to his guns. I could see both those things happening. But this person in the league brought up, said, I get the sense I would not be surprised if somebody just blew their doors off. And in terms of what that looks like, Buck, I mean, we were talking about, like, he was like, what if it's four first round picks and, you know, you're you know, two defensive starters, like two really good players. Like, you're talking about a massive, massive haul. He thinks somebody could just go all in on that one.
I would say the one team that I would see being able to do that would be the Carolina Panthers. And the reason why is because you have an owner who comes from Wall Street, who is about playing the market and living in the margins and understanding value and those things. I think he possibly, David Tepper, would possibly be the owner who would sign off on something like that. Like, let's go all in on Deshaun Watson. He played in Clemson. It's right there. It would be a marketing bonanza. He's a player who's already established. Joe Brady and Deshaun Watson teaming up, lights out. Not only that, Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey, both guys young and in their thing, I think they would sign up for that. Yeah, that would be a situation where I would do it. But from the Houston side, man, I would have to hold firm because it's just so hard to find a quarterback. Yeah.
No, I was thinking of, you ever go to Panera? You ever eat at Panera Bread?
Yes, yes.
You know, on the menu, it has a pick two. Like, I was thinking, like, here's the deal.
Salad.
You get three first-round picks and a pick two. You pick two, any two guys you want on our roster. Go ahead. You pick two of those, and you get three first-rounders, and then we're done. It's a pick two trade.
Pick two. Yeah, I mean, it would be something. And I think the Matthew Stafford trade whet everybody's appetite because you're talking about a young guy that is there, and you hear a lot of people say, like, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have any
impact. 7 years younger. He's seven years younger than Stafford.
It does have an impact because sending those picks back for Matthew Stafford just lets you know how a high-end quarterback is valued, a talented quarterback is valued. Yeah, for Deshaun Watson, it would do that. But I still say if I'm the Texans, I don't want to do it. I want to exhaust it before I actually have to do it.
No, I think you're smart there. All right, let's rip through the rest of these here. Dak Prescott, what happens there?
I think he stays there, but I think they messed this up so bad.
We've said this. I feel like we've had this conversation a million times.
You can't do anything. They should have paid him 3 years ago when it would have been $27 million. Now you're going to have to pay $39, $40 million. And you're going to
truck? Add- I think he is. So I actually think he is.
I think he is, but I get worried. I think we saw his value this year. I just think it's different. Yeah, I mean, he's a truck, man. I don't know if I ever would have had that conversation. Like, that's funny. I think that's something that, man, if we put that chum out in the water on Twitter, Dak Prescott is a truck, man. You talk about wanting to get
you'll get both sides of that one. Here's why I would say he's a truck, Buck. If the play is designed as called, I think he can execute it, and I think he can do that at a high level. But then he can also escape and create and make me right even when I'm wrong. And I think he does elevate the play of others around him. I think he makes other guys better, and I think that's a sign of a truck to me.
I think based on what we saw from them this year, in the same year, we saw how this team looked with him. They may have been 1-3 or 1-4, whatever, but he was putting up big
scoring points
and every game was within one score. He goes away. Defense was terrible, and they only can score like 16 points a game. And so it's a big deal.
Yeah, we'll see. I think that gets done there with Dallas. Okay, let's go down to the next one here. Carson Wentz. I know.
He says, you know what? I was having a conversation in my mind. I was thinking trucks and trailers. I was like, woof. He stays. I think the head coaching move was designed with Carson Wentz in mind. We can't get Frank Wright. We can get the guy that is close to Frank Wright to see if we can implement the same kind of stuff that made Carson Wentz successful in 2017. So, yeah, he stays. He's the starter, too.
Can we, by the way, get off Sirianni for the press conference? He's a football coach. People lost their minds on that, man.
Look, people lost their minds because he had to prepare a statement. But what he said, if you really listen to the words, he said what all coaches talk about. Let's simplify the game. Let's make it really, really easy for the players. Let's make them play fast. Find a way to make it complex for the opponent in terms of what we're doing. But it has to be player-centric, player-driven. I think the best teams, that's what they do. They eliminate the gray area and allow their guys to play fast. And I think for Carson Wentz, that's actually what he needs. He needs something where we talked about last year, DJ, when he was at his best, when they went no huddle, up tempo, 2 minute, because what does it do? It takes away all that other stuff. The variables, hey, they do this, I'm gonna do that. Like, no, I'm playing, I'm going. And I think that's what he needs. I think that's what this team needs.
Yeah. I'm with you. And I think the only thing I could see is if the Colts somehow came in real, real strong, that that maybe something could happen there. But my gut says this is Carson Wentz in Philly going forward. How about Jimmy G?
I think Jimmy G stays. I think they may look and talk about, but I think at the end of the day, they feel good about Jimmy G based on what they don't want to give up. Yeah. I think they value the assets that they have, draft capital, and the quarterback more than, hey, let's trade away the assets and get something in return. I think they've seen that they can go to a Super Bowl with him. I think that encourages them to stick with it, at least for another year.
I think Jimmy G is a little bit tied with Deshaun Watson. I think if Deshaun Watson were to go, I know everybody assumes that if he went to Miami, that Tua would be in the deal. If he went to the Jets, that Darnold would be in the deal. I'm not so sure about that. It, to me, Nick has a more of a connection there with Garoppolo, would be somebody he has history with and would be comfortable with. I could see them getting as many picks as, if they did trade Watson, get as many picks as they can and players, but not quarterback. And then you have kind of the carousel could go there where Darnold could go to the Niners. Then you could see Jimmy G go to the Texans. But I think Jimmy G's kind of dependent on what happens with some of these other situations. But
yeah, now if you can get an upgrade, you can tell me I can get Deshaun Watson to San Francisco. Yeah, I think they do that deal. But I think the rest of the quarterbacks that are on the market, I don't know if they're as fired up about in terms of moving on from him. Matthew Stafford is one I think that anybody has to explore, just because of the talent that he brings to the table.
All right, Cam Newton. Here's an emoji for this, Buck. It's this one right here, because I got no idea.
I think New England is his best spot. And I think after Matthew Stafford and that stuff that came out about Matthew Stafford not wanting to go to New England, and I think a lot of that was due to the way that he was treated by Matt Patricia. I don't think he really liked the Patriot way and what was done in Detroit. I don't think he wanted to sign up for that. I think for New England, I think Cam Newton, there's a path for him to return there. I think that's his best path. I think he has to find a way to kind of bridge that gap to get back to New England.
All right. So how about Teddy Bridgewater? I mean, Carolina seems to be that they were in on Stafford. All the reports said they were in on Stafford. Mm-hmm. They definitely are in a position to draft.
They want better.
They are at eight.
I think they want better.
They need more. To me, it feels a little bit like the discussion we just had about Alex Smith. You know, it's like, okay, good, but man, we're at the top of the ceiling
here. Right. And so I think based on the money that he's guaranteed, I think he's the bridge. I think they take a quarterback this year and he's the starter to begin the season. And then how he plays determines when the young guy gets onto the field. I think that's his plight.
Yep. All right. So there's Teddy. All right. Where's Trubisky going to go? I thought before the playoff game, there was a chance that he comes back on a 1-year deal or, you know, some type of a 2-year deal, like just some type of a short situation there. The way the playoff game ended up going, it just everybody left there saying, okay, this is probably done. The Steelers made sense to kind of go sit for a year behind Ben and see if he could kind of just get himself right. They had the same agent. I think they know each other. They might be friends. But then they went and signed Haskins. So I have no idea where he goes.
I think Tennessee would be a good spot for him. I think sitting behind Ryan Tannehill, seeing how Ryan Tannehill has evolved and changed his game, I think Mitch has some traits that are very similar. I think what Mitch has to do is Mitch has to lean into and welcome, I'm going to be athletic and I'm going to run when I have to run. And I think what he could learn from Ryan Tannehill is how to toe that line in terms of being a player that can play on the edges.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. How about Jameis? Jameis, is he going to be the guy in New Orleans or are they looking somewhere else?
I know. I think he stays in New Orleans. And I think his best opportunity to be a starting quarterback is with the Saints. I think Sean Payton understands what he has in Taysom Hill and Jameis. And I think one coach who could make two quarterbacks work would be Sean Payton. I would like to see that combination work because Jameis would give them what they didn't have last year, and that is the ability to push the ball down the field.
Yep, that would give them that. You also could look at it and say, man, maybe they try and work out something to get Teddy Bridgewater back. They won games with him. There was a formula that worked with him.
Yeah, they did. I think Teddy's the bridge guy there. I think Teddy, after this run in Carolina, I think Teddy ends up being a guy very similar to Byron Leftwich, who becomes a trusted backup based on his ability to win. I don't think he goes from Carolina to out the league. I think he goes to being a high-end backup, much like Andy Dalton has been able to do.
All right. Fitzmagic is a free agent. I can't see them. To me, the dynamic, you can't bring him back in Miami. I know he's very popular. That's part of the problem. If you have a hope for Tua, you can't keep him there. It doesn't make any sense.
You got to get him out of the building. He'll go somewhere. I don't know where he'd go. I think he has another run.
How about the Patriots? I think that's the only team he hasn't played with in the AFC East.
Man, you think Bill Belichick could live with the turnovers?
I just want to see him complete the cycle. I mean, he has, right?
He's played everywhere. Just play everywhere.
He's played for the Jets. He's played for the Dolphins. All he needs is the Patriots.
I didn't even think about that.
Can't be many guys that have played for every team in the division.
No, no, no. How many teams?
I don't know where he goes. You know, where actually, you know, I could see making some sense for him is to bring him out. If I was the Chargers, just because he's so smart. Herbert's established himself. He's not any threat to Justin Herbert at all there. But just having that type of a mind in there, I wouldn't mind having that around Justin Herbert. Let him learn from some of those experiences.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because the Chargers do need a backup quarterback. And you would like to think that get some experience, someone who can step in. Because it's, in a way, I don't want to say a Super Bowl or bust, but they're big expectations. You better have a quarterback that you can envision starting for 3 or 4 games.
Yeah. And Easton Stick might be that guy. I like Easton Stick. He can run around and make some plays. But I just think, to me, it's just having the wisdom of a veteran quarterback. When you have a young guy, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, and also, remember, he's going to be learning a new scheme. You know, like that hasn't really been talked about, Joe Lombardi coming in. That is a new system, a new scheme, and he may need some help along the way kind of putting it together, even though I don't think Fitz has played in that system. Just so much inventory of offensive schemes and fits, he may be able to help Justin Herbert in that regard.
All right, let's go through a couple more here. Alex Smith, he's got 2 years left on his contract, but all the guaranteed money's been paid.
Yeah, I think he's there as a backup with the Washington football team. I think they find a young quarterback, but I think he has been so good for them in terms of the level of professionalism in the building. I think he has an opportunity to stay. Not as a starter, but I think he has an opportunity to stay.
Ben's got to redo his deal, but basically came out and said he's – but money doesn't matter. Basically just said, I just want to play.
Yeah, 1 year. 1 year. Like, this is it. I think we've seen it. Like, I mean, little band, old quarterbacks fall off a cliff in a hurry.
That 2004 class, he's the last man standing.
Last one. And so I think this is it. I think this is the last hurrah for Ben Roethlisberger.
All right. And then not on the sheet here, but a couple more. Derek Carr, is there any chance he's not with the Raiders? I just don't get the sense that, like, guaranteed 100% he's our guy going forward. He's not going anywhere. I don't get that. I just don't get that.
I don't get that. DJ, I'll be honest with you. I thought after we sat there on Thursday, Marcus Mariota, I can't remember if you were on that game at Amazon.
Yeah, or not. Yeah, I was calling the game for the Chargers radio. You were doing it for Amazon.
Yeah, so, like, after that game and after watching how that offense looked with Marcus, I thought Gruden would be like, maybe. Yeah, I think if they can get – somebody into thinking that he can be the guy, I don't think they would blink at moving off of him.
Statistically, it looks good. Carr played well. You look at the numbers and their offense where they were top 10 offense.
Yeah, but
you just never get the sense that that's Gruden's guy. You just don't get that sense.
No, I definitely don't get that sense. And I definitely don't get that sense that they are a Super Bowl team with him at quarterback. Like, I think they can win games and eventually maybe get into the postseason. But I think there's a ceiling in terms of what they can do with him.
Can I do the connection with Derek Carr, though? If Derek Carr is not the quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders next year, okay, who did Derek Carr play for? Who was his head coach at Fresno State?
I can't even remember.
Pat Hill. Who was Bill Belichick's offensive line coach all those years?
Gosh, you think he goes New England?
Pat Hill.
Man, I don't know.
He plays the game like Belichick wants to play the game. He's not going to turn the ball over. He's had some fumble issues this last year.
Oh, he's going to play small ball.
But yeah, I mean, he kind of we're going to play defense. We're going to run the football. Don't turn it over. I mean, again, the fumbles were a little bit of an issue, but outside of that, that's kind of how Carr plays. There's a connection there.
Yeah. Does he strike you as a gritty dude? Does he strike you as gritty enough to be able to kind of do the Patriot thing?
I don't know.
I kind of go, I don't know.
No, I think he's tough.
It makes sense.
I think he's physically tough. I mean,
I mean, it makes some sense when you bring the Pat Hill connection.
Who would you rather have right now? I'd rather have, if you gave me the choice of right now,
Carr
or Cam Newton, I'm taking Derek Carr over Cam Newton.
Yeah, Derek Carr can throw it. Derek Carr can throw it better. I mean, the Pat Hill connection, because Pat will, I haven't said
in totally throwing that. Just pull that out of my backside, by the way. But just the fact that there's
he can advocate for him. He can advocate for him. There's a connection there. Yeah. Interesting.
And then last one, same team. We talked about him briefly there with Mariota. He's under contract, but you know, is there somebody that tries to make a move on that one?
No. I think if you're the Raiders, you don't let him out the building, because I think potentially he's a guy that can be that. When they signed him, I thought maybe he could kind of be a little bit of that Rich Gannon for them, that reclamation project that they discover. They add something to him. Gruden challenges him in a way that makes him play his best ball. I would love to see him play more, because I'm not going to lie, that Thursday night, what he displayed, yeah, it was intriguing.
You know who should really who should trade for him if the Raiders just wanted to get out from under the money? I think there's one. I have to look it up. I think there's 1 year left on his deal. He signed like a 2 year deal, right?
Not a two.
If I'm the Ravens, RG3's moved on. That's the backup. That must be the perfect backup for Lamar Jackson. Perfect.
See, he's young. You know what I think? I think that's actually where Cam needs to end up, even though he's older. If he's going to be a backup, because he's a better player than RG3, even at his with his limitations. He at least makes you.
They got Huntley, but that doesn't fire me up. So, to me, I think Lamar's done a phenomenal job of staying healthy. But man, Buck, we've seen this over the years. Like, you run that much at that position, like eventually the check's gonna come due. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna have a stretch where he's gonna miss some games. It's got to happen. There's no way he's going to miss some games at some point in time. To me, I think investing in the backup for them makes more sense than maybe any other team.
No, I think so. And I think they tried to put together the room where they have a bunch of athletes at quarterback, Trace McSorley, Huntley. They had RG3 before they waived him right after the season. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the positions they have to explore for sure.
All right. How fun is this, by the way?
It, I mean, it's a lot of fun. The NFL never
it's the dull best.
Moment. Never
it's
dull
the moment. Absolute best.
Talk about
every time. I mean, since that Stafford thing happened, every time I open up my computer, I'm just waiting to see. Okay, what we got? Next? What's next? What we got next?
I mean, it is the gift that keeps on giving for sure.
All right. Anything you want to add before we jump out of here, man?
Nah, man, it's fun. It's fun. It's all good. I know you're busy with Super Bowl coverage, so you'll crush that. I'm trying to catch up with some of these prospects and stuff like that. So
we got so many guys to watch. Lot of guys to watch. And we'll jump back into the draft stuff next week, big time. So, anyways, that's gonna do it for us today. Hope you guys enjoyed these conversations. A lot of fun. Always appreciate Buck's perspective on this stuff. Remember, you can go to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review. We appreciate that. If you want to drop a question in there, we'll answer it on an upcoming podcast. You can check out more videos, NFL.com and on YouTube, youtube.com/NFL podcast. You'll find all the goodies there. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening to Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge.